NBA on NBC.
What is NBA up, everybody? Finals. This is Jim Mylak, and you're listening to Pot of Fame, the podcast where we break down former athletes and decide whether or not you're going to call to the Hall. On today's podcast, we are not talking about a particular player. We plan to talk about a particular player. We're going to talk about a baseball player. Actually, that will now be next Monday. But what we're going to talk about today is what's going on in the Hall of Fame world, because there's the Hall of Fame news. This is about as big as it gets other than voting time, because two different Hall of Fames had their induction ceremonies last week. So the Baseball Hall of Fame had their induction for the 2020 class. It was delayed last year due to COVID this year. So it was on Wednesday at 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. Really weird, but that's what we had to do based on, I guess, timing or scheduling or something. I don't know why it was on the weekend, but it was at 1:30 on Wednesday. So last Wednesday that happened. And then just over the weekend on Saturday, the 2021 Basketball Hall of Fame class was inducted. So both of those inductions happened last week. There's a lot of chatter on Twitter, a lot in the news. Actually, was making appearances on SportsCenter even. So I thought, I mean, this is a Hall of Fame podcast. Probably need to comment on that. I have some thoughts on both kind of classes. So I want to go through that today. So I'm going to first tackle the Baseball Hall of Fame, the 2020 class. And then I'm just going to comment a little bit on the 2021 basketball class, because I actually did do a podcast earlier this year where I went in detail on some of the players. So I just want to give some thoughts on what's going around, what I've been reading, what I've been hearing about that class in general. And when I say what I've been reading and hearing, I'm pretty much talking about things coming about Paul Pierce. I'll just leave it at that. So we'll tackle baseball first, basketball second, and then I'll get you out of here. And again, if you're someone, I know some people really like these kind of update specials. Others just want me to focus on one player at a time. I totally get it. If this is not why you subscribe and listen, you know, we will see you next Monday for a normal show. However, again, if you're listening, I assume you're slightly interested in the Hall of Fame in general, so you might want to hear what's going on with these players. And I never covered the 2020 baseball class because this podcast really wasn't up and running when Larry Walker, Derek Jeter, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller got inducted. So this will be kind of brand new on them. Again, the 2021 basketball class I've covered a bit already, so it'll just be a little bit about the class and a bit about Paul Pierce and some of his comments. So with that, let's tackle baseball first. All right. So as I said in the intro, the 2020 class was inducted on Wednesday afternoon. So last Wednesday afternoon, Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller were all put into the Hall of Fame, into Cooperstown, finally. After being elected last year, they waited a whole year so they could have the ceremony, which I'm glad they did. It would have been a bummer if they would have just inducted them with no crowd. The Hall of Fame's great, especially at Cooperstown, because there's always a huge crowd and they all hang out. It's like a whole weekend. And I'm glad they did it. But again, I just said, right, it's a whole weekend because it's usually on the weekend. I don't actually know the details of why it's on Wednesday. Obviously, it has to do with the rescheduling, but it is really interesting why it's on Wednesday, but that definitely did not stop the Yankee fans from flocking there to see the captain, Derek Jeter, get in. So Derek Jeter was obviously the headliner of the class. He got 99.7% of the votes. There was only one voter who did not vote for him, and he called him out during his speech. Larry Walker got in his last year on the ballot. And I think, you know, I never did an episode on Larry. He would have been a great episode years ago. I think Larry Walker is definitely a Hall of Famer. So the fact that he got in just barely 76.6% of the vote in his final year on the ballot in 2020, you know, it's wild. He almost didn't get in. I think a veterans committee would have maybe eventually got him in, but Larry just squeaked in. So Derek and Larry were the two players inducted through the normal process, the 75% threshold. Ted Simmons, who was a catcher, mainly for the Cardinals, but played for a very long time, and I'll get to him in a little bit. He finally got elected. He was from a senior committee. When he actually got on the ballot back in 94, he only lasted 1 year. He fell off immediately with only 3.4% of the vote, but he fell off. He finally got elected this year. by a senior committee. So good for Ted Simmons. And then Marvin Miller finally got in as well. And Marvin Miller probably should have been years ago as well. He, of course, is the very famous labor leader who kind of led the Players Association, I believe from the mid-60s until the early 80s. And this guy's pretty much responsible for how like baseball came to be in terms of players getting a lot of money. It was really like free agency kind of came from him. So honestly, baseball players should praise Marvin Miller for how much money they can make today. It was really under him that, you know, salaries blew up and things blew up. And I'm sure he made a lot of enemies over the years due to, you know, his the power he yielded and what kind of happened based on what he did during his career. But definitely belong. I mean, as a part of baseball history, there's not too many people from like an operations side of everything that mean more to the game than Marvin Miller. So great job from him getting in. But I want to talk mainly. So those are the four that got in. I want to talk a lot about Derek Jeter. Because I threw a poll up last week when Derek Jeter was getting in. And I asked if people thought Derek Jeter, who played for the Yankees his entire career, if he was he was on the Yankee Rushmore. Everyone on the pod that listens to this pod knows I love Rushmores. Is Derek Jeter on New York Yankee Rushmore? And a majority of the people said he was, said he should be. And I think that's insane that it wasn't a landslide that he was not, because as good as Derek Jeter was, and again, he is a Hall of Famer. I just want to be clear. Derek Jeter definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. He deserves to be a first ballot kind of Hall of Fame guy, but he's not one of the first or the best four Yankees of all time. And again, this is a stacked franchise. You got Babe Ruth, automatic. You got Lou Gehrig, automatic. So there's two slots left, and you got Mickey Mantle. I believe he's automatic. And then Joe DiMaggio, he's automatic. Like, you're not kicking any of those guys off for Jeter, and that's nothing against Jeter. You bring up another franchise, Jeter easily could be the best player of all time for multiple franchises in Major League Baseball, but not for the Yankees. So for the fact that a majority of people think Derek Jeter is one of the four best Yankees of all time, I think inflates how great Derek Jeter was. Again, Derek Jeter should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. However, I don't know if he deserves 99.7% of the vote. I mean, that's the second most of all time. Actually, I'm going to go back. I know he doesn't deserve that much. To me, Derek Jeter is a mid-80s kind of guy. Maybe 86, 87% of the vote. I mean, if you really break down Jeter's numbers, like, sure. Accolades, 5-time World Series champion, 14-time All-Star, won a World Series MVP. He won 5 gold gloves, even though he was not a good defender. And I can talk about it in a second, but still won the 5 gold gloves. You can't argue with that. You can't argue with 3,465 hits or a .310 career batting average. That's all great. But when I look, and also one more thing I want to call out, because this is maybe what defines him, you know, 5 World Series championships. He played in 7 of them. He batted .321 in 38 games. So he was very clutch. And when you look at October, not everyone comes up big, and Jeter came up big. He was a major reason why those Yankees teams won. So I don't want to get too negative here, but when we're talking about one of the greatest Yankees of all time or someone that deserves 99.7% of the vote, if you look at advanced metrics, which some of my listeners love, others hate, I get back and forth on that. He had a 71.3 career WAR. The average Hall of Fame shortstop has an average WAR of 67.8. So yes, he's above the threshold, but just barely. I mean, he really is one of the middle of the road Hall of Fame shortstops. Again, we're talking Hall of Fame shortstops, not shortstops of all time. People already in the Hall of Fame, but he's right in the middle. He's not the top of the list. He's not near the top of the list. And then when you look at his 7-year peak WAR, so his best 7 WAR seasons, he's actually below the average shortstop, just barely, but below the average Hall of Fame shortstop. And then his jaws, which is a combination of those two, is right. It's exactly basically what the average Hall of Fame shortstop is. And the average Hall of Fame shortstop had a WAR of around 4.9 per season. Jeter was only 4.2. So again, that's just advanced metrics. It doesn't take into account what he did in the playoffs or anything like that, or who he was. He was an icon in New York, and you can't get around like his longevity and how long he played. And you know, I'm not knocking any of that. And in his hits too. I mean, I honestly am kind of not surprised, but the fact he's sixth all time in hits, that's really impressive. That's first Hall of Fame ballot stuff. First time Hall of Fame ballot stuff. That's fine. But the guy was never the best player in the league. He never had an MVP award. He finished second once. He finished in the top five a few other times. But I don't think he was ever one of the top five guys in Major League Baseball. He was not a power hitter by any means. He stole a good amount of bases, 358. I want to point that out. But he led the league in hits twice, runs once, and that was it. Like, if I'm, and again, this might hurt my argument I'm trying to make here, but if I had to, like, what defines Jeter? Wasn't a home run hitter. He was a single hitter. He's a winner, right? Five-time World Series champion. He did what it took to win. He was the ultimate leader, the ultimate captain. That's fine. It's just when I think of the all-time greats, the you deserve 99.7% of the vote greats, I want to think of, the Babe Ruths, the Hank Aarons, the big-time sluggers, most homers of all time, or, pitchers that won 3-4 Cy Young awards, right? Multiple three-time MVP awards. That's the Mantles, the DiMaggio's. I believe they both won three. I know DiMaggio did. I believe Mantle won three as well. That's what I'm thinking of 99.7% of the vote. So, again, nothing against Jeter here. Deserves first ballot Hall of Fame, all the praise for him. But when I really look at the history of baseball, Jeter's not a top 25 guy to me. Top 50? Yeah. Top 25, though? No. And I think if you're 99.7% of the vote, you gotta be better than what he was. I know every Yankee fan here has probably plenty of reasons why I'm wrong, but I just look at the numbers and I'm not the hits number, super impressive. Everything else and the playoff stuff, great. First ballot Hall of Famer, but again, he's not even, I think, near the best shortstops of all time, like top three or four. So, or top five, right? He's on shortstop Mount Rushmore. So I just have pause when we're talking about he needs to be on Yankee Rushmore, anything like that. I'm putting a number of people, I think, ahead of him. And again, that's just me. So Derek Jeter, congrats on the Hall of Fame. I want to get it out there. I don't know if I fully, and I'm not a Yankee fan, maybe. I'm not from out east. I don't know, but I just don't get it. So if you have a lot of reasons why he is on shortstop Rushmore, he is a top four shortstop of all time, you think he's a top 25 MLB player of all time, please tweet at me. You know the email, at Pot of Fame. Go for it. So that's my thing. That's my little rant on Derek Jeter. As for Larry Walker, again, I was super happy he got in and got on the 10th try. Larry Walker, he's an advanced metrics darling. I think once people started to understand just how good some of his numbers are and can take it out that he was at Coors Field, which is, a hitter's ballpark, of course, but it still doesn't take away, he played a number of years for the Expos, a number of years for the Cardinals. He played very well there too. The guy was a hitter as well as a seven-time gold glover, played excellent defense, three batting titles, 72.7 WAR, so actually a higher WAR than Derek Jeter. WAR is not everything, but just want to say that. And his career line's beautiful. 313 batting average, 400 on-base percentage, 565 slugging percentage, 141 OPS plus. He went to St. Louis at the age of 37 and in the World Series batted 357 with two home runs in four games. So again, he could do it everywhere. career-wise, I mean, 15th all-time in career slugging percentage, 18th all-time in career OPS, 60th all-time in on-base percentage. And his adjusted OPS plus, which again, adjusts for the ballpark, 80th all-time. And you look at, you highlight like a season, like what's his all-time season? I mean, his 97 season is something that it's just, it's hard to comprehend a little bit. Again, we know it's Coors Field, all of that, but 49 home runs led the league, 130 RBIs, 33 steals. People forgot Larry Walker was pretty athletic early on in his career, 33 steals. So he was a 49-30 guy that year. 366 batting average, 452 on base, which led the league, 720 slugging, which led the league, with a 1.172 OPS, which led the league, and an OPS plus of 178, and also led the league in total bases with 409. So yeah, Larry Walker deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think it took him a little too long. He almost left out. And again, war is not everything, but I think it puts a little context of where someone sits in history. And Walker had a better war than Jeter, and Walker almost didn't get in the Hall of Fame. It took him to his 10th vote. Jeter got in first time. Again, Jeter is a better baseball career than Larry Walker. I'm not going to say anything different than that. But just take it for what it's worth. Larry Walker, higher war, had an MVP trophy, three batting titles. He got some accolades, and his career numbers are, you know, exceed Derek Jeter in almost every single way, other than, you know, he didn't have as many hits. He, of course, did not win five World Series. But as a hitter and fielder, I think Larry Walker was better. Okay, I'm going to get killed now. The more I'm talking, the more I'm going to get killed. Let me be clear. Derek Jeter is a better player than Larry Walker. Okay, I'm done. Final two, Ted Simmons, got in by the veteran committee. So Ted Simmons is tough for me. He, like, Larry Walker, Derek Jeter, I think both belong in the Hall of Fame. If I would have done a Ted Simmons podcast before he was elected, I would have been really struggling with this because I just feel like Ted Simmons is a guy who played for a very long time, which matters for Cooperstown. But I don't feel like he was ever, his peak was too low for me, I guess. Like, 8-time All-Star, great. And again, career numbers, he played 21 seasons, 285 career batting average, second all-time in hits by a catcher with 2,472 by a catcher. That's super impressive. Second in doubles all-time with 483, and second in career RBIs with 1,389 for a catcher. So second doubles for a catcher, second RBIs for a catcher, second hits for a catcher. It's hard to not let that guy in, right? Being durable as a catcher is impressive on itself. But like, again, what was his peak? What do I point to? Like, he never finished in the top five in MVP voting any year. The best he ever did was sixth in 75 with St. Louis. He had 18 homers, 100 RBIs, a 332 batting average. It's a really good season. But, you know, I think of the players from the 70s and 80s, especially catchers, like Thurman Munson, not in, did a podcast on him. He has the MVP. He has the multiple World Series. He has, I think, one less All-Star game than Ted Simmons. He has gold gloves. Ted Simmons wasn't, I think, the best defender, really. There's a good amount of great, there's a lot of good catchers in the 70s. And Ted Simmons, you know, I have several people, of course, Bench and Fisk ahead of him, but I also have like Munson ahead of him. And I think I maybe would have, if I really sat down and did the whole episode and all of that, I think Simmons might have been on the outside looking in. Even with him being second in hits, I think that's important. I don't know. He's a big toss-up for me. I'm fine with him getting in. I wouldn't fight it. I think he's like almost the threshold of better than him to be in the Hall of Fame as a catcher. I think what really knocks him over the top is, you know, that being second on RBIs, hits, that matters. So goodbye, Ted Simmons. Congratulations. I have a little more difficulty with him getting in. I don't know if I would vote for him if I was on the senior committee as opposed to some other guys, but good for him. And he gave a hell of a speech. So I think that was worth it. And I feel like I'm really hating. This is like not a positive thing about Ted Simmons. Great player. Just I don't think I would have voted him in, but I'm happy he's in. Good for him. And then Marvin Miller, I talked about a little earlier, but his, again, him being in the Hall of Fame, I think is necessary. His name is synonymous with a lot of the kind of economic side of baseball that goes in today. Again, I think I said earlier, free agency is about him, you know, collective bargaining agreement between the players and owners. Like he negotiated the first one, right? We always hear about the bargaining agreements. Like he negotiated the first one. He established like arbitration. Like he pretty much anything that has to do with baseball today in terms of the contracts, like he set it up at minimum, the framework. So compensation conditions for the players today on and off the field, how that all works. Marvin Miller, props to you. Should have been years ago. Really glad he's in. And he unfortunately passed away, so he was not there in person, but props to Marvin Miller. So that's my quick baseball takes. Again, if I hope you're not coming away like, oh, he hates Jeter, oh, he hates Simmons. Like, that's not it. At Cooperstown, super tough to get in. Jeter, obviously, first ballot should be. I would have voted for him. I just, this whole, like, there's like a whole travesty. He wasn't 100%. I don't think it's a travesty. There's always people that don't vote. Again, I would have voted for him, but I don't think it's a travesty. He didn't get 100%. If it was different in years past, like I'd feel, I guess, a different way. But like you look at the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Like Ernie Banks. I think Ernie Banks is one of the best shortstop of all time. And he got in on his first ballot in 1977, but he got 83.8% of the vote. Now, I think some of the old school voters were way tougher than some of the voters that are around today. But it's hard for me to feel bad about Jeter getting that high a percent when Ernie Banks got below 90. So I'll leave it at that. And then Ted Simmons, I'm on the fence about him. Not someone I'm ever going to fight that Ted Simmons shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. So goodbye, Ted Simmons. So that's a quick baseball update. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back about my thoughts about the 2021 Basketball Hall of Fame class. All right. So the 2021 Basketball Hall of Fame class was inducted on Saturday over the weekend. If you watch any festivities, they always do a good job with that. And I've talked at great length about a lot of the people that were inducted on episodes themselves. So actually for the people inducted, I've done episodes on. So my first episode ever was on Ben Wallace, of course, the great Detroit Piston, and very short stint for my Chicago Bulls. He got in. That was actually my first episode ever. And I thought he should be in the Hall of Fame. My 17th episode was on Chris Webber. And I also thought he should be in the Hall of Fame. So he was in. My episode 33 was on Tony Kukoc with Sam Smith. Sam and I both thought he should be in. And then my episode 41 was on Chris Bosh. And again, I thought he should be in. So all four of those episodes, I said yes for all four of them. They all got inducted on Saturday. So that makes me feel good about what I was thinking. Makes me feel good about them being in the Hall of Fame. The other people that joined them was Rick Adelman, two-time NBA champion. Rick Adelman, never a champion. Oh, that was terrible. Ninth winningest coach in NBA history, but no championships for Rick. Bill Russell got in again as a head coach. I honestly was a little surprised when I saw his name. I was like, why is he? So he's getting as a coach now. Obviously, he's in because he's one of the best players of all time. But he's the first Black NBA head coach, so he should be in as a coach as well. I guess I didn't think of it as two separate things, but he's in. And then also Jay Wright, so Villanova's coach, got in. Yolanda Griffin got in from the WNBA, as did Lauren Jackson. And then all these other committees, you know, vote on other things. There's like eight committees for the NBA from different contributing classes. It's out of all the Hall of Fames, they have the weirdest format here. But like Val Ackerman got voted in, Cotton Fitzsimmons got voted, Howard Garfinkel got put in. A guy named Clarence Fats Jenkins got put in. He from the early African-American Pioneers Committee. I do not know who that is, but it's an excellent nickname. Fats Jenkins, great. Tony Kukoc got him from the International Committee. Bob Dandridge got him from the Veterans Committee, and Pearl Moore got him from the Women's Veterans Committee. So again, a lot of the committees, a lot of people. So huge class. I'm not going to cover all these players. Again, I've covered the four players who are getting in great length in actual episodes. So go back and listen to those if you want to hear my takes. And then actually earlier this year, when this class was announced, I actually recorded a whole podcast talking about this Hall of Fame class. I released it back in May 17th. If you want to go back and listen, go for it, because I talk about most of these other candidates that I didn't do episodes on, or I'm sorry, Hall of Famers now that I didn't do episodes on. I talked about it back in May. The one thing I want to talk about today, though, is about Paul Pierce. Because if you thought I was kind of hating on Derek Jeter, you're really going to think I hate about Paul Pierce right now. So first things first, Paul Pierce, I didn't do an episode on Paul Pierce because Paul Pierce, to me, was going to get in the Hall of Fame no matter what. He played long enough where he scored enough points where you just can't not let this guy not get in the Hall of Fame. And then, you know, he's a 10-time All-Star. He won a Finals MVP, 4-time All-NBA. You know, at that point, the guy is going to be a Hall of Famer. When you score over 26,000 career points, you're getting in the Hall of Fame. It's a no-brainer. So I didn't do an episode on him, but maybe I should have, because now I'm going to talk about here, and it's not going to be many positive. It's going to be a little negative. But again, 26,397 career points. I just looked it up. That's 16th in NBA history. Yeah, you're a Hall of Famer. However, some stuff is coming out this week, and it's all from Paul Pierce too, which is now just making me, I need everyone to, like, he's being overrated at this point, kind of by himself. And I just want to at least set my feelings straight on this. There's two things. So Paul Pierce, there was an interview that came out with him this week, and he has a line in there where he's talking about how good he is. And, you know, he got fired from ESPN earlier in the year, and they were asking him, like, do you think that was going to affect your Hall of Fame candidacy? And he had a quote that says, and I quote, if I didn't make the Hall of Fame with this class, it would be the biggest stiff job in Hall of Fame history. Okay. Paul Pierce not being elected on the first ballot, being the biggest stiff job in Hall of Fame history, is kind of a joke to me, because Paul Pierce should be in the Hall of Fame. But Paul Pierce is not anywhere near good enough all time to think he does, like, the biggest stiff job if he didn't get on the first ballot. Maybe if he never got in, you could say that. But the first ballot, let's take a look at some of it, like his career. Right, he finished in the top 10 in MVP voting regular season once. So we're not talking he won the MVP, runner up, top five, top 10 once. He got seventh in 2009. It's the highest he ever got. I can find you a lot of players in NBA history you would be shocked that got top five MVP votes that are going to get nowhere near the Hall of Fame. And Paul Pierce was never even considered a top six guy, because seven's the highest he ever got in the NBA at any point of his career. Joakim Noah comes to mind. I had to throw that out there. I think he got fourth or fifth one year. He was top five for sure one year on the Bulls. Love Joakim Noah. He's not getting the Hall of Fame, though. So never got top five in the MVP voting, let alone one, and he was only top 10 once. He made four All-NBA teams, okay? That's great. Two All-NBA third, three All-NBA third, one All-NBA second. So he was considered a top 10 player one year, and that was the year he won the MVP voting. And then he was considered top 15 three other seasons. That's it. That's for his career. All-NBA teams, four, just for context, is not that many. Like in this class right now, Chris Webber had five, okay? And he waited years. He's been waiting years to get in. You know who else has four? Rudy Gobert on the Utah Jazz. Do you think if Rudy Gobert doesn't get in on his first try, it would be the biggest stiff job? I know this is not fair, but do you think it'd be the biggest stiff job? I'm just trying to say, like, four All-NBA teams, one top 10 MVP season. Yes, Paul Pierce accumulated a lot of stats over his career. But Paul Pierce's peak, I mean, I never thought of him as a top 10 guy in the NBA, which makes sense why the MVP votes were never there. I always just always thought he was a guy who was going to get you, you know, 20 points a game, six boards maybe, few assists. Like, his career averages are 19.7 points, 5.6 boards, 3.5 assists for his career. And he played a very, you know, long time in the NBA, 19 years. It's great. He accumulated a lot of stats, but he shot under 45% for his career from the field, under 37% from three, about 80% from the line. He played in a lot of games. He won the NBA Finals in 2008, which, honestly, that Finals MVP, I think it had to go to Pierce because he was the guy who was in Boston before KG and Ray Allen got there. But, you know, if you look at that Finals, like, could you have given the MVP trophy that year to KG? I'll say yeah. Could you have given it to Ray Allen? You could have. Ray Allen in that series averaged 1 point less than Paul Pierce, but shot 51% from the field and 52% from three. Paul Pierce shot 43% from the field, 39% from three. Ray Allen also out-rebounded Paul Pierce, had more steals than Paul Pierce, and had more blocks than Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce did a really good job in that series, I will say. Six assists, he was distributing. But Ray Allen could have got that. And then KG went 18 and 13 and was the best defender on the floor. So he could have. So what I'm saying is that Finals MVP, which I think really Paul Pierce hangs his hat on, I think that could be gone. Top 10 MVP voting once in his career. And then four-time All-NBA, which is in the Rudy Gobert category. Okay. So I just, this, he is this all-time great. There's like the biggest stiff job. That's crazy talk to me. I think he could easily wait a few years, really. I mean, compared to some other people wait a few years. We look at the players again, inducted this year. All these guys, none of these other guys are first ballot people. Ben Wallace, right? He waited. Five-time All-NBA. He won all those Defensive Player of the Year awards. Again, I already said earlier, Chris Webber, five-time All-NBA. And then there's players from the past like Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has four All-NBA teams. He could probably get another one by the end of his career. This Paul Pierce is this all-time great. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer. Yes, he should be in the Hall of Fame. But he's this all-time great. Like, he's not... Like, the NBA is releasing that 75 best players in NBA history list. We're going to do a special, spoiler alert, we're going to do a special later this year on who should be on that list. I guarantee Paul Pierce is one of the last 25 names we're probably debating. He's definitely not top 50 of all time. He'll be that last 25 should he be on there. I think he could make it, but I haven't done the homework yet, and he might not. This Paul Pierce stuff is getting a little crazy, and it's a lot of him talking. You know, when you're like, if you're really smart, you don't have to say you're smart. Everyone thinks you're smart. If you're really a leader, you don't have to tell people you're a leader. It's kind of like Paul Pierce with some of the Hall of Fame stuff I'm seeing, because not only, again, did he have that quote, but something came out actually right before I started reading this podcast. I came across and I was dying laughing. But Paul Pierce, I had to double check this. Paul Pierce from his own Twitter account. Tweeted out, Paul Pierce, comma, the Boston Celtics legend Hall of Famer was better than you'd think. And then he had a Yahoo Sports article about his career. He tweeted that out about himself. No words. No words on that. I'll just leave it at that. So Paul Pierce should be in the Hall of Fame. Great player of all time. He's a great player in NBA history. But is he one of the greatest players of all time? I would say no. Again, will he make that 75th anniversary all-time list? I'll do my homework, but I'm not sure. But this whole notion that he's this guy we need to be like praising, no-brainer, biggest stiff job, no. I just pulled up the list because I had to. Other people with four All-NBA teams before they retired, like Pau Gasol has four All-NBA teams. That great player. But Pau Gasol, like Chris Mullin, four All-NBA teams. Mark Price, four All-NBA teams. I don't know. I don't know. I get Kevin Johnson's not in the Hall of Fame today. He has five All-NBA teams, and four of them were All-NBA second teams. He was considered a better player in the league more times than than Paul Pierce. Same with Tim Hardaway. He's still waiting. Five All-NBA teams. Blake Griffin has five All-NBA teams. All I'm saying here is Paul Pierce is a great player. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He played a very long time, accumulated a lot of points. But I don't think of him as this all-time great. He's a Hall of Famer. There's just being a Hall of Famer and an all-time great, at least to me, and he's a tier below that. That's my rant about Paul Pierce. Congratulations to everyone else. Again, I talk about Chris Bosh, Ben Wallace, Chris Webber, and Tony Kukoc in depth in other episodes. So please go download those. If you want to listen to my thoughts on everyone else that kind of got inducted, go back and listen to that May podcast. I don't want to reiterate everything I said there just because you probably listened to that maybe already. If you haven't, go check it out. Thank you for listening today. Again, we will be back with a normal episode next Monday. If you haven't already, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on Twitter at podoffame.com. If you disagree with a lot of what I'm saying, hit me up on Twitter. Email us at podoffame@gmail.com. Happy to respond to any of that because I know I feel like I was attacking people when we should be celebrating them, but I want to kind of ground everyone and not have us all get caught up in the moment like I think we do of like Paul Pierce is one of the best players of all time or Derek Jeter should have got 100% of the vote. You can be a Hall of Famer and still like let's respect history. Let's respect the players that became before them because we're not talking about the best shortstop of all time, and we're not talking about the best small forward of all time. We're talking about players that are very important in baseball and basketball history. But let's just not get caught up in the moment, and let's actually respect the people that came before and the people that will come after. Because I think we're getting a little carried away with some of our takes, and maybe it's just Paul Pierce honestly getting carried away. But that's just how I felt. So again, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you. And the world's gonna know your name.